saw your prayer this morning. In the flesh, I ask you to forgive me for getting up here again this morning. Earlier, the Lord asked me, are you willing? And I said, Lord, I preached last night. That may be what you're thinking as well. So I prefer my brother this morning, but I also want to be faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
So I desire your interest in your prayers that the Spirit of God would meet with us. We'd be edified. I have a burden for the church this morning. It's a message the Lord gave me a number of months ago, actually when I was up in Sepulpa. The Lord gave it to me for the church, and the Lord have us to look into it this morning.
Amen.
We live in a very religious time.
Yes.
We live in a time where the enemy is trying to obscure the light of truth, put a veil of confusion over the church, put a veil of confusion over our minds and our understanding of what truth is and what it is about. We live in an age where it's more about spiritual relativism.
Yeah.
Everything's relative. No black and whites in our day and age. Now that's not according to Scripture. But what is being promoted in our world today is there's no black and whites, everything is gray, and it depends on what you think about something. We live in an age, on one hand, of compromised people watering down the Word of God, and on the other extreme, there's fanaticism. People going too far with trying to add to the Word and then holding it on other people. We live in a time where people are valuing opinions over biblical truth. A time where people are valuing so-called sincerity over true love that brings forth obedience.
Yes.
A time where worship and praise and the raising of hands and shouting is taking precedence over holy living. So then that leads us to a question, where do we go to church? Where should we attend services? Because everybody says they have the truth, don't they? But if I don't agree with you, I can go off and start my own group. And if then they don't agree with me, there's someone else I can find a fellowship. And that is the reason there are so many different churches this morning. That is outside of the will of God. The Lord still has one church.
Amen.
And it is, as has been sung about, it is the mother. There is one church this morning. God is not a polygamist. He has one bride. And I believe today, although the world has tried to divide and separate God's people, there is still a church this morning. But then I need to know, it's confusing in today's age, because even the young people, the children growing up in whatever group they grow up in, they think that that's what's right. And so then we can come to service and I go to church because that's where mom and dad went, and that's just kind of what I do as well. Folks, we're going to have to get deeper and understand, because there's a lot of pressure to conform to what the religious world is teaching as opposed to what the Bible teaches.
That's true.
The Scripture tells us what God is looking for. And that means that we are going to have to be willing this morning, all of us, are going to have to be willing to lay down our ideas. We're going to have to be willing to lay down our opinions. We're going to have to be willing to lay down our personal traditions when they are contrary to what the Word of God teaches.
Amen.
We live in a time where too many people are saying, this is what I think. But folks, when we stand before God, it's not going to matter what I think about it. And it's not going to matter what you think about it. We are going to be judged according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And that means then that if we will all yield our life and submit our way to what thus saith the Word of the Lord, it means it's going to bring us into fellowship. And that's what the Church of God is. It is the fellowship of believers who are worshiping God acceptably. True worship. If you will turn with me to John in the 4th chapter. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 19. Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, and the woman said, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, The hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship the Father, ye worship ye know not what, and we know what we worship.
Yes.
For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Folks, we need to realize this morning, with all of the relativism that is out there, with all of the opinions and all of the groups, the Scripture says the true worshipers must worship. In other words, it's not a choice, it's not an option. True worship that is acceptable to God must be in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
He did not say spirit or truth. He said spirit and truth. To give a little bit of history and context of what was happening here, this woman was a Samaritan. And as you know the history, the Samaritans were descendants of the Jews. When the Jews were taken into captivity in Babylon, there were some of them that remained that ended up marrying people of other nations that were transported into Samaria and Judea at that time. And so then, when the Jews were released from Babylon and came back, their purpose was to rebuild the temple. We want to rebuild a place to worship God acceptably. We want to rebuild it. The Samaritans came and said, "We worship the same God that you do.
Yes.
We want to help you rebuild the temple." And the Jews said, "We don't want you rebuild. You polluted your worship." Because the Samaritans had accepted the first five books of the Bible. They'd accepted the books of Moses, but they rejected the prophets that came afterward. And that created a division between the two. Folks, this morning there are a lot of similarities in the time in which we're living. There are many people that are accepting some of the Word of God. And we can look at that and say there is some truth there. Should not we open up our arms and embrace that? But folks, acceptable worship, we must take the whole truth.
Amen.
And so the Jews rejected that, and then the Samaritans went off and they built their own tabernacle, very similar to the one that's in Jerusalem. And so now there's two tabernacles, two temples rather, two places to worship, and guess what they both say? We have the truth.
That's right.
We have what's right. And today there are many more than just two, aren't there? There's a church chapel about everywhere you go. You can find some place that will worship that teaches differently than what you hear this morning. They built their temple on Mount Gerizim. And on the mountain where they had built, it was very similar. And afterward, because the Jews rejected the Samaritans and would not allow them to help them, there was animosity between the two. And I want to tell you what happened. Whenever the Jews would get on to somebody, whenever someone broke the law of the Jews and said, "We can't accept what you're doing," they would run to the Samaritans. And those that were rejected by the Samaritans, they would find a haven among the Jews.
Yes.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes. Yes.
If you won't accept and worship like we are, then there's another group that will accept me. Folks, there are places you can go this morning to be accepted and fill one of the crowd.
Yes.
There is a place this morning that you can find where you can fit in to fit and conform to the beliefs and standards that you hold this morning. But Jesus said, "The hour is coming and now is." In other words, true worship is not found over there. It's not found in that mountain. It's not found in this one. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Folks, the focus of true worship must be what? What is the focus of true worship? It's the Father. He said they must worship the Father. Anytime you find a group of people that is lifting up their history above the Lord, anytime you find a people that is saying to get to Christ, you must come through us, that is a false movement and a false prophet. The focus of worship must be the Father because Jesus is the door to the church this morning. It is not man. It is not a board of ministers. It is not a group of trustees. It is not because we have the name Church of God on the door this morning. We must come through Jesus Christ, and the focus of our worship is not ourselves. Jesus, the Son of God Himself, said, I speak not of myself. But He said, I speak of the one that sent me. This morning, how can we do less? How can we do less when we go out and share the gospel? The focus of the message must be Jesus Christ. If we begin to get self-focused, we are going to find that we begin incorporating our own ideas and our own ways, and it will begin to take precedence and preeminence over truth. The Father is the focus of true worship.
Amen.
And so then when you start questioning what is right, where do I go to church? Number one, we've got to examine what is the focus of worship. The focus of worship in God's true church, folks, is the Father.
Amen.
And it is not enough, and I don't accept personally, and I don't believe the Lord does either, it is not enough to say because I go to a place that has the name Church of God on the door that makes me like I should. This right here is true worship. So if anywhere along the line we see ourselves deviating from this path that the Lord set for us, if any time we see that we're not really worshiping the Father, we need to make some changes mid-course. Because I don't want to get to heaven and say, Lord, I was in the right church. And the Lord said, what kind of worship was there? This starts personally, folks, but it spreads out very quickly to our families, parents. Where you go to service and how you worship will affect the way your children perceive God and perceive what the church is and their perception of what truth is. It means that we can get to a place that we believe a lie as the truth. And so we have to come back down to some basic and say the focus of worship that God is looking for this morning, the focus must be Himself.
Amen.
True worshipers, it said, will worship Him in spirit and in truth. There was a time that ceremonial worship was acceptable to God in the Old Testament. Ceremonial worship, the worshiping of God with musical instruments, was ceremonial. It was a worship with the hands. The burning of incense was ceremonial worship. It was an outward worship. Yeah. Incense, sacrifices, all of those things, because they people did not have the grace of God and the Holy Spirit to bring about that true worship, that was the only thing they could do was on the outside.
Amen.
Well, that was of old. In the New Dispensation, the Jewish rites and ceremonies were abolished. But God invites this morning and He demands spiritual worship.
Amen.
Anything less than spiritual worship, folks, is not true worship. There are places that you can go this morning where you can go away feeling warm emotionally.
That's right.
You can stick a praise CD in and listen to that, and it can kind of get you going a little bit. You start feeling, do you realize that is pulling up to a large extent on emotion?
Yes.
And that is people are substituting that kind of fleshly emotion and they're calling it worship. God is not worship if the heart is not pure and holy, folks.
Amen.
God is not honored like He wants to be unless there are individuals and a people that will worship Him because He's in their heart.
Yeah, right.
So it's not enough for us to come and work something up this morning. He demands spiritual worship. So how does that apply to us today? Groups today, I'm aware of different groups, I'm sure you are too, that they have a cultural and historical lifestyle, and they call it godliness. That's how they measure their spirituality. They measure it because we have certain standards. We have certain things, and if you conform to these standards, you're one of the group. I want us to understand this morning that nothing is wrong with standards.
Right.
If we do not have standards, we will find ourselves falling further and further away from what God requires in holiness out of our life. But if we understand spirituality to the exclusion of everything else, and it's just an outward form, that is not true worship.
Amen.
There are congregations that someone dresses. And if you can meet an outward standard, you're one of the group, and you can mistreat your wife. You can be carnal, you can yell, you can lose your temper, but you're spiritual because you've measured to an outward standard. That is false worship, folks. Because God is looking for true worship, which means there must be false worship as well. True worship must be in spirit and in truth. And the church of God this morning, it teaches, because the Bible teaches it, that true worship is not one and or the other. It is spirit and truth merged together as one. Worship not in form, but worshiping with the heart. Worshiping in spirit. Do you realize that that's talking about the mind, the soul, and the body? It means our being. That we worship Him in our, with all of our spirit. The spirit as opposed to the ceremonies and the rites and the outward forms that people measure. Worshiping Him in spirit.
Yes.
Where we are not dependent. And if you take exception to this, wait till you hear the whole message. Where we are not dependent on an external form for acceptance, outward works. If we measure spirituality by that and that alone, we have missed the mark. We have missed the mark. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:5, speaking about the last days, it spoke of those that have a form of godliness, but those that deny the power thereof. In other words, folks, that's the day in which we live today. And it's dangerous times. It's perilous times. And folks, I'm going to bring it down to where we live today.
Come on.
It is not enough to say this is just out there in the world. We are living in a time that right in the camp, there are two tabernacles with some people. Some say you need to get over here in the spirit camp. And some say you need to get over here in the truth camp. Both of those, to the exclusion of the other, is false worship.
Amen.
Regardless of what name you have on the door, regardless of the history that you have, true worship is spirit and truth together. And so then, Lord, help us not to fall into having a form of godliness. But denying the power, in other words, the form of godliness is we have some truth, we have doctrine, but where's the passion? Where is the love? Do you realize that where spirit is, you are going to find rejoicing? Where spirit is, you're going to find the spark of the Holy Spirit. Where passion is, you're going to find people willing to go out and share the gospel with the lost. You're going to find where there is spirit, people are not content to stay in the pews exclusively. They're going to be wanting to fulfill the commission of Jesus when He said, go out into the world. You're going to find the people that do not have a circle the wagon mentality. You're going to find the people that say, we are here as ambassadors for Christ. So we need to get out and share the gospel with other people. Spirit. That is true worship. The Pharisees, folks, had the outward form down, didn't they? You remember what Jesus told them? These things you ought to have done, but not left the other undone. But we live in a time the enemy is trying to polarize people right in the church this morning. He's trying to polarize people to one camp or the other. So what camp are you? Are you in the spirit camp or are you in the truth camp?
Amen.
True worship is where those two merge together. They work together. They agree together. They commune together. But if we go one way or another, folks, we're going to get out of sync with the Holy Spirit. We're going to get out of balance with the Lord. Jesus told the Pharisees they were white as sepulchers. On the outside, they appeared righteous and good. But He said, inwardly, you're full of dead men's bones. Do you know that true love, as I said, it promotes. True love and sincerity promotes praise and zeal and outreach. But yet, the Lord is not going to be in it if that's all it is either. He said spirit and truth. Where spirit is, do you realize the Scripture over in Revelation, when He was talking to some of the different congregations, the warning was, you've left your first love.
Yes.
He said they're lukewarm The Lord does not want lukewarmness. True worship is where there is a fervent love for God. There's a fervent love from our spirit to His that communes. And folks, where you do not find fervent love, you will not find true acceptable worship to the Father. This is where we live this morning. This is where the enemy is battling right among God's people, just like the Jews and the Samaritans. Because the enemy wants to divide, he wants to separate, he wants to polarize us this morning. And I think the Lord would have us say to the enemy this morning, we're not going to be separated. We're not going to be polarized, but Lord, keep us balanced. Lord, give us a vision of what true worship is about. I find that when people focus exclusively on praise, and this is an observation, if you disagree, I won't argue with it, but I have seen that people that focus on spirit to the neglect of truth, there is a charisma about that kind of people. There is a charisma and there is a draw on the young people because those are the ones out doing the work of God many times. Those are the ones that seem like they're zealous to get the gospel out. But I want the young people to know something tonight, this morning in love. We cannot worship God to the exclusion of truth. Amen. The only way we can worship God, let's keep the praise, let's keep the outreach, let's keep the zeal, but don't do it at the expense of what the Bible teaches. There are many that would let down under the auspices of reaching out to the world. Folks, that's a deception of the enemy. True worship must be done with love and passion and zeal and outreach, but it must be coupled with truth, or it's not acceptable to God. You can get a crowd. You can draw people in with the spirit and the emotion and the zeal and the fervency for the work of God. Folks, I believe we need more of that this morning. We need to have that fire kindled among us this morning, or we will find ourselves in a place that all we have is a tradition.
That's right, yeah.
You find, study the history of movements. And almost every time, after around a period of 100 years, people fall into a form.
That's right.
I do not want to fall prey to that this morning. The Lord still has a people, but we must be on our guard against where the enemy's working today. Folks, how's your spirit? How is your fervency when it comes time for congregational outreach and you're not interested? Something's wrong. When they say there's people that need to hear about the Lord and there's a door that's open and we sit back and say, oh, how is it going to affect us? And we circle the wagons. That's not acceptable worship to God. The Lord has called us to be separate from the world, but to go out into it and show them what it means to live a holy life. If we don't think that we can go out and take the gospel to the world and be unaffected, we don't have the power that God has for us.
Right.
There is a power with God that you can go out into the world and stay true to God.
Amen.
You can be an ambassador and you won't be the one swayed, but you will be offering hope to the lost.
Amen.
Spirit, passion, and love. It's a requirement, folks.
Yes.
It is a requirement of true worship. And if we sit back and say we have the truth, I believe we do this morning.
Yes.
But I want to say that part of the truth is worshiping God in spirit.
Yes.
And I will say the enemy has been trying to pour some cold water on spirit worship.
Yes.
In our homes, in our individual lives, and as congregations, and as the body at large, the enemy is trying to quench the fervency and the spark.
Yes.
And what has happened is, people that see that, some people that see that, they say, we need to have spirit, and so they separate themselves from truth. And they go with spirit to an extent. But you know, in true spirit, when we worship God in spirit out of our love, it's going to bring forth what was studied in Sunday school here this morning. It's going to bring forth obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my words. If you love the Lord, if your spirit is right, you're going to have the fire, you're going to have the praise, you're going to have the burden for outreach, but it's not going to be the neglect of truth. But no, because you love the Lord, you will embrace the whole thing.
Amen.
True worship, spirit, and in truth. Well, he said, then we've looked at spirit. He said worshiping in truth. Truth as opposed to opinion. Truth as opposed to the way that you see it. And the way that I see it. Because don't we all value our opinions this morning? We do. You value them. And I do too. But folks, those things will not get us into heaven. Truth is what the Word of God teaches. And if there are areas in our life that we don't want to address, plain black and white biblical truth, we are going to get in trouble with God. Folks, the Bible does not spell everything out. It does not spell everything out. But I believe that through the Word and the Spirit, the Scripture addresses the principles of everything that we face in this modern age. And the foundation of living that God expects from us is a life of holiness. Pure living. Undefiled from the world. Where our goals and our purposes are not the things of this world, but they're heavenly. So I can have all the outreach and the praise and the spirit that I want. But folks, if it is to the neglect of Bible truth, I'm going to get in trouble with God, and it's not true worship.
That's right.
I read recently one of the foremost preachers at this time in in America, one of the upcoming evangelists in the United States, made the comments, we don't have to agree. We don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand. Is that what the Bible teaches? That's what the religious world is promoting. We don't have to see eye to eye. We're all headed the same place. Folks, if we're headed the same place, we're going to get there by the same narrow way. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be some differences of opinion. You want to paint the chapel green and I want it blue. The Lord really doesn't care about that. But when it comes to biblical principles, there is a way to serve God acceptably. It is according to truth. And folks, the Scripture says that His church would see eye to eye. See? The major things that affect our life, you have holy people coming together, we're not going to be too far different. But where you find differences are when people are self-willed and wanting to go the way of the world, you're going to start to find some divisions. And I want us to understand, we need to make a stand this morning against where the enemy's working to polarize what can't, spirit or truth. And I'll tell you, when you are not willing to go camp out on either side, you're going to get in trouble by both of them. Though you'll get accused from both sides, that's a good place to be, saints.
Amen.
It's a good place to be, because I want you to know that God's church is a place that worships Him with spirit and truth. Together. And you will find that is where anointing is. You will find that is where power is. You will find that is where the presence of God is. You will find that is where truth is. That is where doctrine is. You will find doctrinal truth there because that helps us understand God. It helps us understand His way. It helps us understand His plan. And anytime someone starts to run doctrine down, you better beware. There's a false spirit at work somewhere, because if the Word of God teaches it, it was given to us to edify and to lift, uplift. It was given to us for a reason. And when you find the other side where people have the doctrine down, but they don't have the spirit and the love, and you find carnality and circle the wagons, you will also find the spirit that is unlike Christ at work there too.
Amen.
Lord, help us to worship in spirit and in truth. In 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, Second Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 2, he said, preach the word.
Yes,
Brother Clifford Wilson often said, the ministry was commissioned to preach the word. That's our commission this morning. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We are in a time this morning where we would like to focus on the ministry being long-suffering. The Bible teaches the ministry to be long-suffering.
Yes.
Preach the Word. Do it with long-suffering. But we are living in a time where we don't like reproof.
That's right.
We don't like rebuke. Don't step on my toes.
Yes.
That's, you just leave that between me and God. Folks, if it's in the Bible, the Lord gave it to be ministered to us that we could grow, become more like Christ. And if we find ourselves turning away from biblical truth along whatever line it is, we need to recognize the problem isn't behind the pulpit. The problem's in the heart.
Yes.
Because if we come to service and we're always have that spirit of, oh, that was wonderful, and we just have that warm feeling, and we're not challenged in our spirit, your minister's not doing something right. Your minister's missing it. When we come under the sound of the preached word, there are those times that are encouraging. There are those times of those warm, the love, the long suffering. It's so important. But folks, there are also times the word of God, it's quick.
Yes.
And it's powerful, and it's going to reveal needs in our lives. He said, for the time will come, and if you will allow me, I will say the time will come, and now it is. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things.
Yes.
You know that's where we live this morning? Amen. We must be on guard because we're living the time people don't want sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine is opposed to the things of this world.
Right.
Sound doctrine is opposed to the mentality that the world is promoting. Put yourself first. Look after number one. Scripture also says to take heed unto the doctrine. And it shall both save thyself and them that hear thee.
That's true.
Doctrine is important this morning.
Amen.
And any group or movement that says it isn't is a false movement.
That's true.
Just like on the other camp, folks. Doctrine is important because it reveals and shows us the way that is acceptable to God. The acceptable way of living. Folks, truth brings freedom.
Yes, it does.
Truth brings freedom. Some people see it as bondage, but they have missed. They've missed what the Lord came to bring us. Truth will bring freedom. We live in a time where marriage for life is not taught in many places anymore. Marriage for life isn't. Modesty, the difference between the genders, that's not important anymore. Separation from the world, holy living, pure living, simple living. Those are principles that the world is not promoting, folks. The Bible still teaches it. That's doctrinal. Those are things that keep us separate, but yet give us the power to still go out into the world and let our light shine for the Lord. The Bible gives us parameters of what is acceptable to God and what is not.
Amen.
Bible does that. True worship, folks, is where there is spirit and truth. Passion, love, outreach, praise. You see, start to see, if you just leave it at that, you start to see a camp over here. And then on the other hand, doctrine, truth. The truth that Jesus taught and that the disciples taught us in the Bible.
Amen.
That's truth as well, folks. And you begin to see that that requires something of us in life than practical. It requires sacrifice. It requires holy living. And if that's all it is, you start to see another camp over here. We are going to preserve what we have been taught. And we start to circle back. Out of fear of influences that are out there. True worship this morning is where spirit and truth merge into one. And that is what acceptable worship is. There are a lot of false movements. There's a lot of confusion. But this morning, if we will keep our eyes on the Father, realizing what acceptable worship is, and again, folks, each camp, keep in mind, they receive the outcast of the other. Samaritans receive the ones that Jews wouldn't fellowship with. That's the world in which we live. And folks, it's going to get worse as time goes on. There are some that think there's going to be a great revival before the end of time. I don't necessarily find the Scripture teachings that.
That's right.
The love of many is going to wax cold. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And I want us to see where the enemy's working. He's trying to polarize right in the camp. He's trying to polarize, get on the edges of both sides, and the Lord would have us keep our eyes on what is acceptable worship. Lord, this is what will keep us balanced, folks. This is what will keep us steady. When you get the extremes of both sides trying to pull you their way, I want to encourage you, Brother Sam has often said, be steady as you go.
Stay steadfast.
Don't be pulled one way or another. Don't just stand on the path, but let's stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
Stand and we can be true and faithful, maintaining the spirit of love. Folks, the Lord is looking for this morning.
Amen.
And I would encourage us all to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Thank you.